All right, I just want to double check that I'm recording. Yes, I am recording.
As am I.
Doesn't really matter, John. Doesn't really matter if we're recording this one.
Yeah, because there's really not that much to talk about, is there?
Well, we can talk about my grocery shopping that I did recently. Is that what it's called? Grocery shopping?
Yeah, it's called grocery shopping.
Right? Yeah, I used to call it food shopping.
Food?
Until I was ridiculed by my friends in my early 20s. Well, food shopping.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess it's food shopping, right?
It sounds so poor.
Well, I guess when you throw in things other than food, it becomes... But groceries are food, so that's a misnomer as well.
Yeah, it's all... You know what? It's just a messed up world full of all kinds of messed up problems, and probably this is really low on the list, but right now, with what's going on in baseball, this is actually kind of important.
Yeah. It's not like it's a shithole or anything. Okay, we're not supposed to use that kind of language. This is a clean show, but I couldn't resist.
I go out of my way, John, to use words like poop. It is a little weird to hear that word being thrown around the Oval Office.
It is a little bit. Just a tad out of the realm of
though,
familiarity.
What better shape for a poop hole than an oval? I mean, let's be fair. Equal time on this issue here, John.
Yeah, it's true. Let's give it the positives.
Like, if it's a straight round hole.
Yeah, triangles, not so much.
Right.
Squares.
An oval is really, if you look at any toilet, John, it is oval.
True.
We didn't know that that's what they meant by the Oval Office, is that it was going to be full of poop. It was going to be itself.
Eventually,
poop hole.
At one point, it had to happen. And we're just lucky that it's during our lifetime. I think.
Is it luck?
Well, there, you know, we'll talk about this later, but there's also a new possibility for a celebrity throwing their hat in the ring, and we'll get to that in extra innings. But
let's talk about it now, because who cares?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, really.
Yeah,
we make up the
rules. 2020, there was the possibility being thrown around of the game show host, reality TV show host, going head-to-head with a TV talk show host, daytime talk show host, for the presidency of the United States, Oprah Winfrey.
And that would be like made for television, the made for television election.
If that were to have happened, which I don't think it will, because A, I think that everyone knows that Oprah is way too smart to get herself involved in that mess.
Especially against him.
Why against him. Like, no one comes out. Also, she's a brand, you know.
Why
I don't think she can
brand?
Afford to have half of the country disliking her.
Or being
whereas
on.
Everyone already disliked Donald Trump, so him getting down to 32% approval was actually up. That's what people miss in all these polls. They're like, can you believe he's at the lowest performance positivity results? And but this is the guy who hosted Celebrity Apprentice. Everyone thought he was a complete jerk. Now only 68% of the population of the country think he's a complete jerk. That's an improvement, John.
Yeah, he's going places.
He's using that baseball numbers theory, right? Hey, successful 3 out of 10 times,
that's
you're right. A Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Brett's.
He's like 30%. Put me in the Hall of Fame.
He's a winner.
Bigly.
Make baseball great again.
Yeah, bigly.
This is Fall Territory, episode 51. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
This is the Randy Johnson episode.
Ooh.
Or Ichiro.
Now, you know what? It's got to be Big Unit.
They're
both Hall of Famers, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Ichiro's going to be in the Hall of Fame, right?
When he eventually retires. It may take another 10 years before he's eligible, but he'll be in.
I mean, we might have to like horse tranquilize that guy and just set him out to pasture, you know? Like, Ichiro, come on.
He said he wants to play till he's 50, so we'll have to.
Was he 44 now?
Yeah, I think he's 44, yeah.
Yeah.
Or will be 44.
I'm not super excited about that. But didn't, what's his name? Julio Franco played until he was like 48, so why not?
Yeah, at least 48 that we know of. According to the records, he may have been older than that.
Hey, we all could be older.
We could be.
I don't know what that means.
So do we, I mean, this
is hold on a second, John. I got to give everyone a warning. Uh-oh. So I'm really tired.
Okay. Up late?
Here's what happened. Okay, so my dog got worms. The new dog got worms. And I'm talking about like the worms that are like are long and big and gross and wrap around the poop and like, oh my God. It's like,
how could that
I was like,
fit
I was like
inside
in Dune.
Something that
I was like,
small?
We've got worm sign. Right? Apparently my dog's been eating the spice. That's a Dune joke. All right.
Okay.
The spice must flow. He who controls the spice controls the universe. Anyway, probably way too much Dune references for a baseball podcast. But anyway, my point is, so we put her on a little dewormer from the vet. Everything's great. But she decides she doesn't want to sleep through the night because I guess whatever's going on in her intestines, like the battle of the worms or whatever.
It's going down.
She starts barking and won't stop barking. And we try all the tricks, you know, like cover up the crate that she's in and try da-da-da-da-da and try making a loud sound, whatever, all the tricks, right? Won't stop. And my wife has an 8 a.m. call time, so she's going to be up at 6:30. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do, John. I'm going to take that dog
and sleep in the bathroom.
And sleep in the frickin' car.
Wow.
Look, not all heroes wear capes, John.
No. Some heroes
sleep
in cars.
You want to talk about your first responder, your first guy through the door. I slept in the car.
You are a saint.
Yeah.
You're a
keeper.
And you know
what? The dog barely made a sound in the car.
Oh.
The whole time I was thinking like, well, at least we're in the garage and no one's going to really care. But for some reason, just in the car, it was just like, maybe it was scared. So that's going to be our new thing is if she starts barking, we're just going to scare the hell out of her.
Take her to the car. You're going to the car.
Or we'll just take her to the car. Yeah, it worked pretty great. And except for me not being able to sleep, but my wife got plenty of sleep. And well, not plenty, but you know.
Enough to be ready for her 8 o'clock
enough
call.
For a full day shoot.
That's good.
And if, for those of you who don't know the biz, a shoot is when you film something.
Education. That's why the folks come here.
That was probably completely useless information. Anyway.
It's a big help for those who want to plug in.
They like, get some
you're
long
kind
days.
Of a big deal in Hollywood, too.
They get some long days there over at that show.
Speaking of long days, we're in the dog days of the Hot Stove League and... Not heck of a lot going on. Although we had huge news.
You want to know how long these days are? You want to know how long these days are?
How long?
People are writing articles now just about like what team should sign the available free agents. One guy did an article about, hey, look, you can make a great team with the free agents that are available.
There is an entire, I think, 40-man roster still out there.
Yeah. Like a really top-level team out there.
Plus, there's plenty of people being thrown around in trade possibilities the almost trades and the purported to be in the works trades. You know, this happens every year. But we are in the doldrums right now, and writers in particular are grasping at straws. And
they're desperate, John.
I think they're trying to, in some ways, they may even be, you know, taking a hint of a story and turning it into a full-blown article.
Well, I think they're just going to start writing stories about each other now.
Stuff
the
up.
Writers are just going to start writing about other writers having written stories.
Oh, boy. Do you hear that J.D. Martinez is signing in with a Japanese team?
What?
They're giving him big bucks. You heard it here first.
Oh, okay. Okay. What?
No, that was a full-blown article on MLB.com
nice.
You know, J.D. Martinez is going to sit it out until, you know, spring training. He's fine with being into March, and the Red Sox are fine with being into March, too. Who's going to break first?
Yeah, it's weird when there's really only one team that can sign a guy, and it – how does – like, here's the thing that's funny to me about baseball. There's really only one team that can really sign J.D. Martinez, right? It's the Red Sox. So why should they pay more than, like, $18 million? I know he's worth more than that. He's worth $25, $30 million. But why should they pay more than 18 if they're literally the only ones bidding on him?
Well, maybe Boris thinks that someone's going to get hurt, or maybe he'll send a thug to kneecap somebody.
Sorry, I don't mean J.D. Martinez in specifically. I just mean like you see these things in baseball and in football maybe as well. And I don't really follow the free agent signings in basketball and football and stuff like that. But it always struck me as odd that like, why not just... Just say, no, we're only giving you 15 or we're only giving you 18. Oh, well, we have another team that's going to like, no, you don't. There's just, I remember the Dodgers signed Manny Ramirez for some crazy, it was like $25 million a year, $30 million a year, some stupid number like that. It was like, who else wanted Manny Ramirez? No one.
Yeah, why pay that much?
Why not just say, we're going to give you 15? And then is it a trust issue? Like, is it something where like a team feels like, well, if we don't pay them enough, they won't perform?
I think it's more a matter of listening or being convinced by their agents that there's value in a longer term contract as opposed to, you know, because $60 million over 3 years is not nearly as good as, you know, 75, 80 million over 4 years.
Right.
So I think
it's just one of those weird things. Like maybe you know, it's just a lot of different factors. And it doesn't really
matter.
Oh,
it is.
But see, here we are, John. We've already deteriorated down into like what the other writers are doing right now. Like all we can do is like sit here and speculate why
our producers are giving us the stretch sign, so we're stretching.
Why aren't people signing contracts, John?
Well, we can postulate about that for the next 45 minutes. Why isn't JD Martinez signing with the Red Sox?
Just sign for like 24 or 25 for 5 years. That's a lot of money. Who cares?
It is. That's a lot of money.
Why does it need to be 6 years? Come on.
Because the Red Sox are in desperate need of home runs. They finished last in the AL.
In this league, is anyone really in desperate need? I'm just saying.
The Red Sox are a good team. They're not. I think they'll. I mean, all they would need is a little bit of a bounce back year from some of their players, and they're fine.
Yeah.
In the power production numbers.
Yeah.
I'm not overly concerned if I'm a Red Sox fan. Be happy if they sign them, or when they sign them, but it's not the end of the franchise by any means.
I sure would like to see them get a right-handed starting pitcher.
Yeah, that would be a big help, too.
Mixed in there. I think they're all lefties right now, right?
Yeah.
Sale, Price, Pomeranz, Rodriguez.
Yeah, they could use a righty.
Those are all lefties.
Garrett Cole.
Yeah. All right, should we go over some of these stories?
Yeah, some of these headlines. Let's jump into it.
All right. Headlines being a little bit of an overstatement, but sure.
Subheadlines.
Yes. Contextually speaking, they are headlines.
For the show, they are headlines. But there was a big signing.
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Was it big?
Not really, considering.
I thought Jay Bruce was like, I'm never going to be with the Mets. I don't want to play there. That team is screwed up.
Yeah, I guess not.
What? $39 million and no one offered me anything else? Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I think that may be part of it.
Maybe.
Familiarity and, you know, it's a deal. I might as well take it.
Whoa. I thought familiarity breeds contempt.
I know. Maybe it's content in this case.
Yes. Okay, so for those who don't know, who aren't really following all the exciting headlines,
and we will get to extra innings and all the pop culture stuff eventually, but bear with us. We'll get through the baseball
first. So Jay Bruce signed with the Mets.
Yes.
3 years, $39 million, which is probably not a great contract, but not terrible. I mean, if you agree with the defensive metrics on him, then it's not a very good contract. If you think, well, we can hide him at first base sometimes, then it starts to get a little bit better. They still needed actually a center fielder and not a right fielder.
It's a better fit in the American League, which is...
Yeah, not a very good defender. But some people don't think those numbers are quite accurate. But it's just the Mets. You
I
know?
Even
like,
read
the Mets
an article that the Red Sox
$13 million.
Should have gone after him or Carlos Santana earlier in the game instead of waiting for JD Martinez.
Yeah. Did you read an article about that? Or was it someone writing an article about someone else having written an article?
I think it was I don't think it. I think it was an original piece.
Was it somebody writing an article about someone saying that on MLB Network?
This is what
Network?
I heard. This is the rumor. This is what Joel Sherman said on MLB Network in the New York Post.
Oh, okay, now I know.
I saw all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
This time of year. And according to the bullet point on our show list notes, it says that's about it for the news.
Yeah. That's it. That's all the big
signings.
That's
all there is. That's all there is, and there ain't no more.
I keep thinking that we're going to do a podcast, John, and then, like, that day, there'll be, like, huge free agent signings, and we'll be like, oh, we missed out on all the clicks and all the listens.
Yeah, and I did look. I did look at the head. I was like, I should check just in case something happened. Yeah. Nah, nothing.
No. Speaking of something almost happening.
What might that be?
The internet went ablaze for an hour and a half yesterday when everyone thought that Garrett Cole was getting traded to the Astros from the Pirates.
I did not witness that. So
it went crazy. And then the general manager for the Astros said, nope, that's not happening.
It sounds like cryptocurrency.
And it is like that. Anyway, but that's where we're at right now. If someone gets a whiff of a story and they jump all over, and then everyone else jumps all over that guy's story, and then they get their half confirmations from other people. And
that's one of the things I love about the winter meetings, especially in the era of the MLB Network, because you have like the four best writers that are trying to out scoop each other, and they're on the network, and they're it's a feeding frenzy during the 4 days of the winter meetings, and all they want to do is one up. You know, they're on the MLB Network, but they're working for competitive publications, so they're looking to get
computational, right? Yeah. Computational.
All those folks. I can't even talk today. I'm tired too. I don't have a dog.
You know what? I'm tired of this baseball offseason, John.
It's too long. Pitchers and catchers. It's like, I think we got
the mono of baseball.
32 days, something like that. We're almost there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that we should have a lot of activity in the next 3 weeks because these guys.
Just because the season starts.
Yeah, because the season starts and you'd expect people to be ready to go and know where they're going as opposed to figuring it out as they go. I'm not seeing J.D. Martinez pulling a, what was the DH, drawing a blank on his name?
Oh, Kendrys Morales.
Yeah, who signed in, what, May? I think it took him forever
I think he signed in June? Trying to get around that compensation.
Right.
But the compensation isn't like what it used to be, so it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, so that a lot of players are being held hostage by the owners because of that rule, and not so much anymore. Yeah. But Gerrit Cole staying put for now?
I mean, he should be traded, right? We've talked about this. The Pirates should sell, you know, rebuild. They don't need to do like a full-scale rebuild. They have a lot of cool pieces, but they need to rebuild a little bit and then, you know, fortify their system and then take another shot at it in 2 years. Trade Andrew McCutchen and trade Gerrit Cole and... Got a lot of nice pieces for 2 years from now, but those guys will both be gone in 2 years.
So. Yeah, and it looks like the Giants are kind of in on the McCutchen sweepstakes.
Yeah, well, I think someone posted on Twitter today that the Giants outfield is expected to, right now, projected to make the entire outfield 1.5 wins above replacement.
Woo!
For the whole season. And for those of you who don't know wins above replacement, 1.5 wins... is not a lot of wins.
No, I mean, an all-star outfield is going to get you 15 wins.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not good.
So 0.5 per outfielder, not good.
Yeah, that's average at best. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to win.
But they're in a tough spot too, right? The Giants, because like they can't really add payroll, so because they got the luxury tax salary cap thing, which like all of a sudden this year teams care about, and... There's like hints of collusion and whatever, which is, I think it's sort of like accidental collusion. I think it's like, oh no, we agreed to this collective bargaining agreement. And really the best thing for us to do this year is to all sort of, you know, pedal the brakes, break the pads, the
pump the brakes,
pump the brakes,
pedal the pads. Same thing.
It's okay.
But you have another like big news trade. There was a three-way.
That's right.
With the Dodgers, Royals, and White Sox.
Look, John, you start talking three-ways, and you know I'm interested.
Yeah, I think that's why that's in
there. Well, wait a minute. That may have sounded like I was interested in any sort of three-way with you, which I don't want to say I am not interested in because, hey, don't knock it till you've tried it. But that's not what I was trying to say. So I'm not saying that, just to be clear. But I wasn't saying that.
Right. All my three-way partners are big thumbs up, so.
Okay, good. Yep. So, yeah, the Dodgers got Scott Alexander and moved a couple of players, and the White Sox took on a little bit of salary and got a prospect.
Headline, breaking news, breaking news. We got to pump this up a little bit.
Yeah, and the Dodgers got themselves a little bit lower under the luxury tax, and Scott Alexander is a valuable asset. Lefty out of the bullpen, big ground ball guy. They lost Tony Watson to free agency. Mm-hmm. And so now they have a replacement for him that's cheaper and probably a little bit better. So good for the Dodgers.
And I guess the other big news from the last week was the Blue Jays-Padres deal.
Yeah, the Yangervis Solarte.
Solarte.
Yangervis.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce
it. Can we just Americanize some of these names? Is that xenophobic for me to want that?
I just call him Soli.
What about just Joe?
Joe Solarte.
Yeah.
Or Jose.
Not Jose is still Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, his name is Yangervis.
How about YG?
Let's just call that Joe.
YG Jonathan? Solarte. Yeah, I don't know.
Jonathan Solarte? Johnny? Yeah. Johnny Solarte. Come on! Who doesn't want to root for Johnny Solarte?
Sounds like a character in a film noir.
Like, I'll let them keep their last names.
Wow. Thank you.
Sorry, I've been watching too many Trump press conferences.
But that was a pretty big, you know, some Padres fans are kind of, you know, like, what are you doing? But they have a surplus of infielders. Yeah. They got to do something.
And they got some great players coming. They got to make room in the middle. So, But I think the Blue Jays, I think this feels a little bit like, well, we have middle infielders that are constantly injured, but then also maybe we want to trade Josh Donaldson, which I still think they should do. They should definitely trade Josh Donaldson. They're not doing anything this year. They're projected 10 games behind the Red Sox and Yankees right now. 10 games. Come on.
Trade him.
Trade Donaldson to the Cardinals. Get a prospect. Boom.
Yeah.
Built for next year. Yeah. They're another one of those teams that could do like the Pirates. They don't need to do like a full overhaul.
No.
They have some really nice pieces. Yeah, they
do. Young pieces, controllable pieces.
Yeah.
Isn't it great that we talk about human beings as pieces?
They are. They're just so much cattle.
Yeah, they're meat. They're meat. Well, it's just so much better than the old days when they truly were owned by the
right.
team.
Yeah. I mean, I think here's the thing. I would feel bad if they weren't all multimillionaires.
Right.
Like if they were all if they were making as much money as me, like playing an entertainment sport like that entertains, you know, millions of people and makes the owners billions of dollars, I would feel bad treating them like just pieces of meat, but really they're just pieces of meat who are actually people, sure, I guess, but also making millions, so they can cry themselves asleep on their big money pillows.
And isn't it strange, though, that when we sit there and say that the major league minimum was like $574,000 or something like that is a pittance?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'd be very happy making $500,000 a year. That'd be nice.
I'd be okay with it.
I would not complain.
I would be okay with it. I have at times made that like in a week.
$500,000?
No, like what would scale out to.
Oh, gotcha. Wow, that's pretty good.
Like if I kept making that much per week, then it would be $500,000.
That's good work.
But oh yeah, no, I'm telling you, John, that's the great thing about the entertainment industry. You can be like, you can not have anything going on for like 3 months, and then all of a sudden someone writes you a check, and it's just like, well, no, that's my year.
Yep, I'm good. Yeah, well, that's one of the things, though, with these Hollywood, aging Hollywood superstars is that, am I going to get another deal? Am I going to be in another film? So they're living on that. This could be my last, you know, meaningful paycheck.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine, a writer friend of mine. We were talking about how cutthroat Hollywood is and how there's not a lot of like, hey, how can I help you out? And whatever, right? And like, hey, I'm not going to return your call unless I can get something out of you.
Hey, how can I steal your idea?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot more of that going
and
on.
The thing is, like, everyone's doing it to everyone. I'm not saying everyone by, like, literally everyone, but the percentage of people that are doing it to other people is so high that you almost can't feel bad that someone is jaded by the and changed by the industry, because it's such an awful industry.
Right.
It encourages such awful behavior and rewards, you know, like, this actor who's not very good, but who happens to be the cousin of so-and-so, or this screenwriter who is the former roommate of Ben Stiller or whatever. Like, oh, but okay. So why, but, oh, okay. Fair enough.
When I was a neophyte in the film world, I had an LA type person who worked for one of the studios tell me, my biggest piece of advice to you is to don't share your ideas with anybody, because everybody's out to steal them. And lo and behold, you know, about a year and a half later, he tried to steal my idea.
He warned you, John.
He warned me. He set me
up. It's your own fault.
Yeah. Yes, I learned a lot going through that process the first time, for sure.
Hey, you should thank him.
I'm still friends with him. So it's all good. It's all good. Let's see. Oh, this was another interesting thing that kind of, I think it popped up yesterday, that an agent, I don't remember the agency, got fired after one of his clients found a camera in the shower at his house.
Yes.
So he's filming.
That's the accusation.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
It is alleged.
Right. And he denies it.
The agent denies it, but yikes. Yeah.
The world we live in is kind of scary that you're supposedly trust.
Can we back up just a second here?
Sure.
Why are players showering at this man's
right? Home? That's another question. It's like, what was the reason that you were there?
Let me ask you this, John. How many times have you showered at your agent's house?
Never showered at my agent's house, ever.
Okay. Now, let's say maybe you haven't had an agent your whole life, right? How many times have you showered at, like, a coworker's house?
I rarely shower, unless I'm visiting family, I think, would be the... Oh, no, I guess...
Well, you rarely shower?
No, I rarely... No, I was... two thoughts going together there. Yes, I am. I'm living off the land. I'm doing the best I can.
Eating cheese, smoking cigarettes, drinking wine, and bathing on a monthly basis?
Yeah, just a little splash under the pits in the crotchal region, and I'm ready to go.
A little Drakkar Noir for a little European shower action. Great.
Yeah. And I'm ready to go.
Anyway, it's a weird story, especially in light of everything that's been coming out, you know, lately. But yeah, so the agency fired him, though. I think I read somewhere that he, like, just last year had been hired on as, like, the main baseball guy at this sports agency. And I guess he isn't anymore.
No.
But he knew a lot about what was going on inside the players' heads, I guess.
So to
or
speak.
Something. I feel like there's some jokes in here, like really gross.
There are.
Yeah. We'll figure them out. You know what we'll do? We'll figure them out and we'll do them later.
It'll be part of a starting nine.
You know what? I'm going to do them in my shower. So if anyone has a camera set up in there, they're going to be fortunate enough to hear me do these jokes. They'll be unfortunate enough to see me naked, but still.
It'll be good for a laugh.
Yeah.
The jokes.
Sure. Right. The jokes. Yeah. Okay, John.
So last bullet item, I really don't know much about, so I'm going to let you kind of handle it. But the Rangers have a deal with the Nippon Ham Fighters.
Right. Here's the... Oh, sorry. I had accidentally kicked the... cord out on my my umbilical cord,
but you're back.
What story are we talking about?
We're talking about the Rangers beginning a multi-year baseball business deal. I don't even know what this is.
Here's
about.
The thing. So basically, the Rangers and the Nippon Ham Fighters are both building stadiums at the same time, and each team is going to have a representative from their team with the other team's construction. Right? And the sort of over part of the management team for the... They're helping each other build these two stadiums, right? Efficiently and whatever, right? But here's the catch. This is a professional baseball team. And I think... Isn't that a conspiracy theory? I'm just saying, like, I think this is a really good way to sort of get in good with Japanese people, Japanese players, specifically with that one team, of course. But it just helps Texas keep this brand going. You know, they signed Darvish. They might re-sign him as a free agent. It's very smart just to keep that name recognition going, make people a little bit more likely to sign with a team. And, you know, there's some administrative value and blah, 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 right? But it's a clever move. It's trying to gain a little edge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're giving themselves a little bit of steroids.
And the Rangers, the stadium there now is not, what, 20 years old, if 20 years old? So the life of a baseball stadium now is only 20 years?
I think it's longer than that. I think they're going to be like 30 to 40 years. Because I think there's a certain aging aspect that actually makes it look good. It's like how men get older, right? And they get more handsome. So I guess Atlanta Stadium and Texas Stadium were like women. When they get older, they just get, no one wants to look at them anymore. Jokes that can only be said when my wife isn't around. By the way, I think women are beautiful. I think that as long as they don't turn themselves into plastic faces or surprised lions or any sort of cat.
Yeah, you don't want them all look the same.
Yeah, I think they just, you know, just.
Are we talking about women or baseball stadiums?
I'm talking about both, frankly. Who wants a stadium that looks like a lion?
Right. Or a trout pout.
Or a trout pout, yeah. Who wants, like, a stadium with oversized lips and the inability to express emotions?
Physically as opposed to, you know, emotionally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, metaphorically, John.
I gotcha. So, no, I didn't realize that Globe Life, the current Globe Life, not the new Globe Life, or was really that outdated.
I don't think it is. It's just like, whatever.
Well, but the Braves, it made sense because they took the old Olympic Stadium and converted it into a baseball stadium. So it really wasn't, you know, it was a multi-use facility in some ways because it was transformed from a opening, closing ceremony.
Well, they thought it was going to be, yeah. They thought that the Olympics would make that the area that
yeah,
was
the area is not
a viable area. And it just never became a viable area. Right. So
that's
fair
a big
enough.
Part of it. So yeah, they're now out in the suburbs in a nice little area where the wealthy people are.
And man, they got some good prospects coming.
Yeah, oof. They're going to be good.
Oof.
Yeah, it's an interesting stadium. I definitely want to. It's been a while since I've been to a game on the road. I think Citi Field was the last time I saw something outside of this, out of Seattle. So I've been to like 22 different ballparks over the years, and I travel for business, which was always fun. Including the old Globe Life.
Oh, good for them.
So now I'll have to go and see the new Globe Life.
Yeah.
See, we're just filling time here on foul territory.
You know, this reminds me a little bit of, do you remember when the writer's strike happened in the,
yes.
the 80s?
Yeah, we should be doing reality TV, right?
And then, no, this is before
the
that.
The old one, yes.
Yeah, the
yes,
old, yeah. old one, right?
No, I got
and
you.
And I remember David Letterman, who I used to stay up super late to watch
yes,
when I was
I
a wee lad. And he had a thing called Hal Gurney's Network Time Killers. Hal Gurney was the director of the show who was immune from Writers Guild, whatever. And they just, like, during the writer's strike, they held the show for a while. And then as the strike continued on, they're just like, all right, we're just going to do the show, but we're just not going to have writers. And obviously it wasn't that good, and it was more of a talk show, but they tried to make things happen. So it was like they had this thing called Hal Gurney's Network Time Killers. And it would just kill, like, you know, a minute doing something. And that's basically what we're doing. Right. We're waiting for the free agents to sign, John.
Right. And we're not getting any alerts, so no one's signing. And, you know, we'll just fill time.
I am definitely not getting alert.
Well, you're tired because you slept in your car.
Right.
So tired that you didn't do a starting nine for this week.
I'm going to tell you right now, John, if these players aren't signing contracts, I'm not doing a starting nine.
That's fair. But your fans may demand it. It's
I know.
It's,
I just couldn't really think of anything for this week. I was like Golden Globes, but then who cares? And then I don't know. I just couldn't really think of one. And then it just felt like anything I came up with was going to be contrived. And then
aren't they all contrived?
Then the you know what, John? More contrived than usual.
Okay, gotcha.
Like usually there's like a reason for
right.
the
you just
starting
don't
want
to go
to
through
exist.
The motions.
Yeah, I don't want to just be like, oh, I'm doing this because my contract says I have to.
Right.
Let me tell you something right now about contracts in the entertainment industry. They're garbage. You basically, the owners get to do whatever they want, and the performers have to perform. They have to do what they're told on whatever schedule they're told. And there's all these little loopholes. What are we talking about now?
The engineer's in my ear saying, shut Jed up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, so that's coming down from high.
It's okay. I'm not really sure what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, this is a new record. We're through the baseball portion.
This is a gift, John.
This is a gift to everybody.
We are giving a gift to these people.
Did you notice in the notes on Facebook, this is a little bit of shout out to one of our listeners, Tim, who listened to our podcast during a hike up in the mountains in Montana.
I did see that.
That's pretty
neat.
I
did see that. Yeah, it was kind of
like
cool.
He's out in the wilderness hiking in snow-covered trails and listening to Foul Territory. See, folks, we're going places.
Yeah.
Going all over the U.S.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tim, hopefully you'll continue listening.
Hi, Tim. I hope the hike was great.
So any other listeners want to tell us where they're listening to us and share it on Facebook. We'll give you a shout out in the show, maybe.
Will we? Is that a thing we want to do?
I would just be curious to see if anybody made
here,
a comment on
Facebook.
You know
what? I guarantee you, if there are no baseball signings next week, yes.
We will. We will take those.
We will Hal discuss Gurney. Where our listeners, we're going to write articles. We're going to discuss articles that we've written about where our listeners are listening to the show.
And then we'll call them up and we'll interview them.
Is that all the baseball news there was? Something
that's
else?
It. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else
all right.
going on. There might be.
What else we got then? Let's talk about the rest of the world.
the rest of the world, actually, there's a lot, like every week, to talk about in the rest of the world. So, you know, I guess the biggest sporting related event was the national championship game, which actually turned out to be a really good game after a very ho-hum first half. Very exciting second half.
Very weird to see the Georgia team pull a Atlanta Falcons.
No, I was thinking that during the game. I'm like, so what's going on with teams from Georgia sitting on leads?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very similar to the Civil War. You know, the Georgia was doing great right up until the end, and then Sherman came through and just crushed them all.
It was one of those things too, just like with
Sherman?
The Falcons.
Wait.
No, what? Hmm? No, Grant.
No, it was Sherman, right?
Was it Sherman? I don't know. I'm not a Civil War historian.
Yeah, no, it's Sherman. Yeah.
Sure.
I think it's Sherman.
That's good. Good for me. Sounds work. It's best.
You know what?
Awesome.
Just say that I did okay.
You know, the reason why I don't know is because they took down all of the memorials. I don't know who's who anymore.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, I just don't. Without those beacons to help guide my way through the Civil War history, I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, because there's no museums or books or documentaries. So.
Or technology that allows you to go in and type in a few words that would give you everything you'd ever want.
Yeah.
About it, yeah.
Well, but until that day, John, we're just going to have to go with statues in public parks.
That'll work for me. But one of the things about the game was that it was so tough to watch, and I'm not a fan of either team. In fact, I'm kind of rude against Alabama because they always win. But
yeah,
I was,
they said that they have that Yankees thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's a little bit of that. Five out of the last 9 years.
Ironic, though, right? A Southern team that is like the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
Yin and Yang, buddy.
It's true. That is true. But they definitely played to lose. What? Did we? What happened? Yin and Yang?
This is a funny way to tell me to shut up.
Moving along.
That is true. Okay.
moving along. No, I could talk about that game for a while because it was frustrating to watch, primarily because the Georgia defense was not as aggressive as they were, because the game obviously changed because he had a quarterback that could actually throw. But the bigger thing was on offense, where they were, you know, started the game running and passing, which people were like, I thought this was a running team. And then they started to mix it up. And then in the second half, they just basically said, well, we're just going to hold on.
Playing not to lose.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable to watch. And I have some friends who are alums from Georgia, just, you know, besides themselves as they watch the game. And yeah, it was a tough one to watch. Well, it was tough.
They watch the games together, or when you say they're besides your friends, were themselves?
They were literally besides themselves watching the game.
That is the best way to watch a sporting
event.
It is.
Yes, it is. Yeah, tough game to lose. It was redemption for the Alabama kicker who missed, what, two field goals, gimme field goals in the game. But, what a way to end the game on a 25-yard sack followed by a 41-yard touchdown. It was crazy. Good stuff, though. It was a fun game to watch.
Great sports, man.
It was. And now we're full bore into the NFL playoffs.
That's right. And you know what that means, John.
Time to dump on the Patriots.
Time for another article, dumping on the Patriots.
I started to read that, and I'm like, because I started hearing more people talking about it on social media that were Patriots fans all up in arms saying, you know, that the media is out to get, you know, the Patriots, what else is new? And I'm like, what are they talking about? And it's like, they're talking about things that happen on every team.
Yeah.
Why is this a big deal?
Right, and they're talking about things that happen on every team, but on every other team, they don't have 5 Super Bowls in the last 15 years.
I was shocked that the Patriots issued some sort of a response to the article.
You know what they should have? You know what they should have just said? This is our public statement. Okay.
That's all they should have said. I agree. They should have made a light of it. Really? Yeah, we're laughing all the way to the bank. You know,
there's like the big controversy this year with the backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, who a lot of people think is actually a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
And he looked pretty good with
he's undefeated. He has never lost a start ever in his career.
But he has thrown about as many interceptions as he has thrown touchdowns.
But he's looked really good with San Francisco since he started.
But he has looked good. And he did play well last year in the 4 games. I think he was 3-1 in those games when Brady was suspended. And I'm telling you, a lot more teams should have been in on this trade, but the 49ers got him for a second-round pick. which before Garoppolo got there was going to be a much better second round pick.
Yeah,
I think Garoppolo pushed it from like a 2 or a 3 to a 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of teams out there need a quarterback. This guy could have been the guy, but no one wanted to pay the price because it's like, well, you can't trade with the Patriots. You can't trade with the Patriots. That'll make them good. Okay.
Well, I saw that Ryan, the Jets Bill, former Jets Bills coach,
yeah,
was saying that he thinks Bill Belichick is going to retire after this season. He doesn't need this BS anymore. Or maybe it wasn't retire. Maybe it was he's going to move on from the Patriots because he doesn't need this type of a circus environment.
Yeah. Unlike all the other football teams. Right. I mean, like, he wants to go coach the Giants, who definitely don't have a circus environment.
Or the Browns.
Having the owner bench, the coach is benching the starting quarterback, and then the owner is making the coach change his mind and then firing the coach. Yes, definitely not a circus.
Maybe he should. He was the head coach for the Bills or the Browns back in the day, wasn't he?
Right.
Long time ago. So maybe
he's not going there to put a big Browns spot on his record.
But see if he can go and do a Theo and flip it, you know, turn him into a winner.
Then people might think he's still the greatest head coach in the history of football.
Because he could.
Yeah.
It's like Gruden. Gruden saying he wants to coach again because he needs the challenge.
It's just garbage.
It's just something to talk about, right?
Brady's a hothead. It's not like people don't think he's a hothead and like, wow, look, he's a hothead.
Wow, and then Tom Brady swore.
What are the machinations behind this trade?
Swore on the sideline and the coach's dad was in the crowd and heard him.
Yeah, wow. Like, come on. It's all just so weak sauce and like, who cares?
Who cares?
Part of me thinks that the Patriots actually put this out there just to get them a little fired up because, like, hey,
probably,
let's go get our 6th Super Bowl, I guess.
And their path to that is much, much easier now.
Oh my gosh,
it's really easy.
I mean, this is one of the weakest years for the NFL.
It is. There's only two teams that have, I think, a chance of winning the Super Bowl: the Steelers and the Patriots. But I also think the Steelers could lose against the Jags this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
They already lost one earlier this season. The Jags beat.
I mean, I don't think the Patriots are great, but I don't think anyone's great this year.
No,
I don't know if anyone's like really good.
No, there's no dominant team by far this year. Well, I mean, the Jags defense was looking great, and then they lose their final two games, and then their offense has been suspect because Bortles is either on or way off. There's no in between.
Blake Bortles quarterbacking a playoff team is very similar in my mind to Donald Trump being the president. Just like, I just never would have thought.
You never know what you're going to get. Yeah. So moving on from the sports world into the celebrity world, I guess you could say.
Yes.
Brad Pitt, really? Is this true? This is kind of creepy, isn't it?
Okay, so Brad Pitt bid $120,000 to charity to watch Game of Thrones with Emilia Clarke.
Just one episode? Or the whole series?
You know, I didn't see what the whole thing, like, what it, like, to watch Game of Thrones. Like, I don't know what that, I was so distracted by all the elements to it. Like, first of all, like, is he doing this as, like, a move? Like, is,
that's what I,
like,
I,
does
I,
he
I,
know I, about, does he know about Tinder? It's a lot less expensive than $120,000.
The rumor has it, though, that he and Jennifer, what's her name? That he was married to?
Oh, Aniston.
Aniston are kind of buddies again? Pals?
Oh my.
And I know she's married, but you know, they've been, I guess, seen in friendly circumstances. So there's the folks that were huge on that pairing are rooting for them to get back together.
They didn't have kids together,
no,
did they?
No kids,
I never really followed that. The whole thing was just whatever. Who cares? But he started having kids with Jolie, right?
Okay. Yeah, all right. Having kids.
Got it all sorted out now.
Adopting kids.
That's right. They had the United Colors of Benetton.
The brood. They have the brood.
Yeah.
The pit brood.
They were like, all right, so we've got to get someone from Africa, and then we got to get someone from East Asia.
And they're going for every continent? Was that kind of the thing?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
It's going to be tough getting someone.
Well, an East Asian will definitely go better with this wallpaper.
It's going to be tough getting somebody from Antarctica, though.
Not impossible, John.
Not impossible. With that kind of money, if you can spend $120,000 to watch an episode of Game of Thrones. Yeah.
It's the loneliest orphanage down in Antarctica.
So at the Golden Globes, that we talked about the Oprah thing too a little bit earlier. Yeah. That was probably the highlight, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, she had like a really good speech, right? And like she's always been very well spoken. But it's so funny because I always think she's so well spoken, but then I hate her as an actress because whenever she's in something, it's like, it's Oprah.
Well, I guess the
why do you have Oprah in a thing?
Well, in Color Purple, though, she was great.
No, hold on a second, though. That's different, though, because that was before she was Oprah.
Right, before she was
Oprah. That's when she was Oprah Winfrey.
Right. It was long before she was anything.
Yeah. Now she's Oprah.
Right.
You know, the lady that has a channel.
Right. And a book club and an empire.
And a magazine.
And a Bilderberger, seat at the Bilderberger table. All that
exactly.
stuff. Yeah, she pretty much runs the world. Why would she want to be president of the United States?
Yeah. I just think people get all excited. Like, people get so worked up about how bad Trump is. And look, obviously he's a jerk, but he's not really that bad. You know what I mean? Like, the country's doing well.
I don't know about that.
Some of the stuff that he's doing is good. Some of it's meh. But, like, you know, hey, my taxes are going to be better next year. I don't know about you, pal.
Until the next cycle. This is, you know.
Yeah, but it's always until the next cycle, man. This is politics.
Well, I know. And then that's the thing that's always so funny is that whatever side is in, they wind up, you know, shitting all over the side that believes the opposite.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, the midterms are going to be a real comeuppance for Trump. Like, was it for Obama? Because, you know, after the midterms after Obama was elected, there were a lot of Republicans elected.
Right.
This is what happens. It goes back and forth and back and forth. And somehow Donald Trump winds up president.
I still don't know. It's a mystery.
You know what it's like? It's like a pendulum, but there's an axe on the end and it's getting near that rope.
Well, it's like a pendulum that swings back and forth until someone from a reality TV show pushes it in the perpendicular direction. So it's swinging back and forth, left to right, and then all of a sudden it goes out and starts coming in, and it gets all wobbly.
You know what I think about
that,
John?
We're in the wobble right now.
You're fired.
So what do you think about the Golden Globes? All the hoopla.
I think we've talked about this before, or maybe we haven't. I don't think we've talked about it on this show, but maybe you and I have. The Golden Globes are basically the Hollywood foreign press, like, trying to hang out with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's not the Oscars. It's not voted on by, you know, actors don't pick
the
actors.
90 people, right?
Yeah. It's like, and they're all foreigners. And come on, first of all, half of them don't bathe. All right. 92% of them smoke cigarettes. And we're talking unfiltered cigarettes here, John. Wow. It's really gross.
Hardcore.
And they just, you know, it's like, this is an award show that gave Drew Barrymore an acting award. Because they want to invite her to the show and they want her to be there and meet her. She's not a good actress. She's a delightful person and a charming on-camera presence, but she's not a good actor. This is a show that just gave Aziz Ansari an acting award.
Like, we'd talked about him before, and I remember you know, going off because he was up accepting an award. Was it an Emmy when the Emmys were awarded earlier in the year?
Yeah, there was like a writing award.
He was there as a writing award, and you're like, he'll never win an award for acting. You know,
exactly.
And then boom, here he is being... Yeah.
To be fair, I don't count Golden Globe acting awards as acting awards.
No.
It's basically just like they liked him the most. Or it's like, oh, look, we check off that box again.
It's more the diversity thing, I think, plays a part of it, too.
It's
which
just
is
really weird. Like, and they've always been like that. And so no one really takes it seriously. And it's funny when people do take it seriously. Like, oh, how did this guy win the best director when really this other... like. It's just not serious.
And
like,
rarely are they, you know, bellwethers for what's to come.
Right.
Unless there's a standout performance. And,
And
there really hasn't
been. It does have there is some bearing. And so never the acting awards, but like the best film stuff sometimes gets a cue from the Golden Globes. But
is the Three Billboards, have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's the picture, according to the Golden Globes. What?
I hear it's
awards?
The half a picture. And then the second half of the picture is not
so good.
That's what I hear.
No, haven't seen it yet.
But I'll see it eventually.
I'll see it eventually. I usually try to see the nominated films before the Academy Awards, although sometimes I'm like, oh, really? Do I have to go and see that movie? It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, especially now that they've extended it to 10.
10, I know. It makes it much
tougher. Really? I can do 5, but 10?
And I watched Moonlighting after last year's awards, and I was kind of scratching my head going like, really? I mean, it's a good movie. You were like, but it wasn't.
Is Bruce Willis going to get together with Sybil Shepherd? What is going to happen with these two crazy kids? Do you mean Moonlight?
Yeah. Oh, did I say Moonlighting? Yeah, yes. Moonlight. Moonlight. It wasn't the best picture to me. I mean, it was a great social justice type of film, and it also, you know, shed light on how tough it is to be gay in the inner city.
So you don't have to tell me. I have a lot of trouble with gays in the inner city.
But, I mean, really. Lion was superior compared to Moonlight. And La La Land, with the supposed winner that got it yanked up. I mean, La La Land was cool because of what it was and how it was shot and visually appealing, but not the best picture. But I just, you know, it's...
But really, these awards should be done like a couple years later. I still feel that that's the way to go. But you have to do it the year after. It doesn't work any other way.
Well, I don't like the fact that some of the films that are nominated are released on Christmas Day or January or December 31st, and they qualify for, that year. And the Golden Globes are a week later, and nobody's even seen the film because it was only released in six cities.
It's like in baseball when they do that thing where they hold a player back in the minor leagues for a week just to get the extra year of eligibility.
Right.
Of
contract. They move it up a week just so they can land in award season, and they're good to go. Yeah. But it was stupid. funny joke, though, in the beginning of the show, when they... Seth Meyers made a joke about the post and had the person walk out with an armful of Golden Globes, joking that they're going to sweep the awards. It didn't win anything that night. Oof. So that was kind of like a joke that was funny at the time, but probably made even funnier because it didn't get anything.
And it turned out to be fake news.
That's good. So I think that's it. Yeah. I mean, we stretched a lot, and we're still under an hour.
Yeah.
So where do we go
just
from
keep
here?
Keep talking here. Should we just keep talking.
Yeah, we could talk about anything.
You should just duplicate the audio track and just start it over. Make this a two-hour episode. People are like, oh my God, what were they talking about? Like, and then they're going to start off listening to us like, there's no way that they filled it. And then, ha-ha, gotcha.
They're going to see, wow, this episode is an hour and 45 minutes long. Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
It's like, not really. Yeah. 50 minutes, right. A lot of filler.
I guess we should just stop talking.
I think we're good.
All right, bye, John.